It is the post UFC 329 edition of Wrestling Observer Radio. Paul Fontaine is here with Dave and I, and we're going to talk about Connor's return, which was very brief and ended in injury. What did that fight last? 30 seconds? I didn't even see what the time was on it.
A minute nine, I think, is what the official time was.
Yeah.
So Connor hurt his knee, and he tried to. I guess he tried to do some stuff, but it was pretty clear that he could not walk very well. He definitely wrenched his knee on a kick to start the fight. There's been tons of conversation about whether he was hurt going into it or not. He just recently tweeted and said he was not. He said he went through the entire training camp doing everything and was not injured. Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of has to say that because if he went in hurt, it's kind of like with all the gambling and everything, it's, you know, kind of a fraud. So he has to say, I mean, I don't know that he's hurt or not, but or going went in hurt or not, but the fact he said it doesn't mean anything to me at all. You know, I mean, it's like
not to mention all the people that bought tickets.
Yeah, exactly. So it was very disappointing. I mean, from what I saw, I thought it was like a pretty damn good show.
Really good show. I mean, they got really lucky with that co-main event, I think.
I do too. Plus, super atmosphere. Really super atmosphere.
Yeah, and I was worried because at the very beginning, it was dead. And I mean, dead for Vegas even. It's always a late-arriving crowd. But I think because they moved the show up an hour from what they used to do. Like, now you're talking 2 o'clock local. Nobody wants to go, you know, watch prelim fights at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Vegas doesn't matter what it is, you know, boxing or whatever. Nobody comes.
But this was even worse than normal. Like it was like being at the gym, you know, like for the first maybe 3 fights, and then it started filling up, you know, but by the time we got to like third from the top, it was full.
Yeah.
So what is there to say about this fight, Paul? Why don't you talk the people through the minute seconds here?
There's not much. I mean, like you said, he comes in and he did like, and even Max Holloway, I watched a bit of his press conference after the fight, and he said like he thought Connor didn't look himself when he came in. Not that he looked hurt, but that he just looked very serious. Not as energetic and feisty as he normally does. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. So, but also they showed a clip of him going to the ring, and he certainly looked like he was limping.
This
is before the fight, and that's why there's so much controversy about this because, I mean, the first thing he does is basically he does a jump up, spinning kick, and lands I guess on the right knee, right? And it absolutely looked bad, and from there he was done.
Yeah, he falls and they're, you know, the commentator's like, what's going on? And then Max hit him a couple times and he looked at the ref and he's like, he can't fight. And then they let him back up. And then Max started fighting again. And then he went to throw another kick. Max kicked him in the leg at one point, and then he fell down again. And then Max is like, come on, like his kids are there. And, you know, he actually said that. And, you know, because like he didn't want to beat the guy up in front of his kids. And then, you know, and then the third time he went down, the ref finally just stopped it.
Well, one time he just got up and the leg just gave out and he fell down and it was kind of like
that was the last one.
Right. And at that point it was like, you know, like you didn't really know what was wrong, but you did know that he was clearly hurt.
Yeah. And it wasn't clear. And it seems that Dana said after he feels like he probably blew out his ACL. Is what it's.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me at all. Yeah.
The thing when the fight first started, he threw that first kick. I thought, okay, like that was you know, he was trying to catch him. He wants to end it early, and he had slipped, and then he did something else, and he slipped again, and I was like,
right away.
Is it wet in the cage? Like, what's going on? Because Max wasn't slipping, and then very quickly thereafter, he started hobbling. And you're like, okay, this is not just him slipping around. It is actually an injury.
And
Cormier even said something like, oh, what's wrong with the mat?
Like, did he
kept slipping. Yeah.
So what did Dana say about the fallout?
Not a lot. I mean, he was asked about whether or not they'd do a rematch, and he didn't really seem to want to answer that. He says, you know what, I gotta let Connor decide.
It's too early to even talk
about. Max, well, and then that was the other thing, obviously. He obviously said, you know,
Oh yeah. Payday that, and again, you know, I mean, it's a great win for him, and he didn't, and it doesn't really like this one was not a great win for him, but I think I think I'd be even more confident that he wins a rematch, and this one, like, he won, but he didn't get anything out of it, I don't think.
No, I mean, they could now go and, you know, put him against Gaethje again if they want. I mean, and you know, build it off of him.
They absolutely could. Yeah.
And both those guys want to take time off till next year. So, you know, that is definitely a possibility. I think if Connor had a one, they might have done Connor and Patty. But, you know, that's obviously not going to happen now.
Yeah.
I don't know if Connor wants to be messing with that guy.
No. Well, and Dana was asked about a bunch of fights, and he said the same thing he always says. Like, I'm not thinking about future fights on, you know, we just finished this show.
But Patty's 155 and Connor's 170, and Connor can't get to 155 anymore.
No, but Patty cuts a lot to get to 155.
Oh, yeah, he can do 170, but I think
Patty looks big in there.
But, yeah. But I think Patty is, you know.
Patty walks around at 230 normally, I think, is what I heard. Something like that. It's just insane. And then when he gets a fight.
No, he's real fat at 230.
Yeah, yeah. But and then he gets down to like 200, and then he cuts.
Right.
From 200 to 155, like from the time he starts his camp. So, it's for him, 170, that'd probably be good for him, honestly.
Yeah.
He was obviously in a great mood too. But yeah, Dana is just, you know, he was asked a lot about Fury and Joshua, and he wasn't going to say much about that. other than he knows when the fight's going to be. He just kept saying that over and over again, but he won't say when.
Well, isn't it pretty much going to be in London now?
Well, he wouldn't answer that. So
yeah,
he said,
I got the impression it's London and they're going to waive the curfew.
Yeah,
put it on in the middle of the night in London. Yep. So it's on prime time in the United States.
Yeah. And that's what he wouldn't answer. So who knows? But in terms of Connor, he was just he didn't seem disappointed. He was in a good mood. He was very feisty in the press conference. We can get into that later. But it was, you know, I mean, overall, it was obviously a very good night for them. They $26.4 million gate. Just over 20,000 fans. So
it'll be interesting to see what how the numbers come in. I mean, a lot of people think it'll beat the White House show.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Well, it's not going to get the repeat views if this fight just ended.
Oh, you're right about that. For the week, it probably won't.
Well, that was another thing that came up in the thing, because apparently you can't watch the shows back on Paramount. You can just watch the individual fights.
Right.
And he was asked about that, and he said it's got to do with music rights issues. So, you know, at least he answered,
it's stupid though.
It is, because it was never an issue on Fight Pass.
It's or on ESPN.
No. So, but yeah, he, and he sees his kids bug him about it, because they want to go back and watch the UFC on Freedom 250, and they can't watch it.
Everyone. Well, the thing is at the worst, they should do it like New Japan, where, you know, you do it and it'll bleed right over, and you just get it. You can watch it in order, essentially, if you really want to do it.
Or how about clip out the walkouts if you have to?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't. I mean, technically you can, because you can go back and watch fight by fight.
No. But I'm saying, if you want to watch a 2-hour version of the show, right, or whatever, like, you can, you should be able to do that.
Well, somebody had suggested they should have just edited together a 2-hour version of that Freedom 250 and put it on CBS, like, you know, a week later or something like that.
That wouldn't have been a bad idea at all. And it would have probably done somewhat decent. I mean, taped sports, not so much, but this one, it probably would have done okay.
If you aired it on July 4th.
Yeah, when nothing's going to draw anyway, why not? Sure.
What is Connor's contract situation, by the way?
He's got one fight left.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Why don't you walk through the rest of the show? There were some really good fights on this show.
Yeah. I mean, the co-main was actually shorter. Patty Pimblett and Benoit Saint-Denis. Benoit Saint-Denis was a slight favorite coming in, and, you know, he had all this power. Obviously, Patty is a submission ace. Benoit went for a takedown. Patty grabbed him in a guillotine, transitioned to started out as a Peruvian necktie, and eventually became a darce choke, and submitted him in 52 seconds.
It was awesome.
It was great. And
He was so over. I think he was, it was louder for him than Connor. Cause I think that there was like Connor was loud, but it was not the normal Conor. You can see that there is a, there are, it's a happening, but there are fans that had reservations about Conor.
Yeah. And also, you know, a lot of people like Max Holloway too. Yeah. So it's going to be mixed. Whereas nobody like Benoit St. Denis.
Yeah. So, Paddy Pimblett got an incredible reaction.
Yeah.
You know, and also the production of the show was great. I mean,
Paddy reminded me of Conor coming out that show in Boston. One where he fought, was it Dennis Seaver?
It was Dennis Seaver. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what this reminded me of. And he was dancing and singing. And I thought he was going to burn himself out.
Like, I do. He's doing all the dance. He's doing the Jey Uso stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought that it's like, what are you doing? You know, it's like, you're going to get yourself tired in the ring entrance. You know, it's like the last thing you need, but you know, he only went a minute, so I guess it didn't hurt him at all.
No. So it's good for him. I mean, he's coming off that loss to Gaethje, so he probably needs at least another win before he goes for the title.
Yeah.
But even in that loss to Gaethje, like, and we even said it when we recorded the show, like, he gained a lot of respect in that fight because nobody thought he was going to hang with Gaethje. And even Dana said in the post-fight press as well, he gained like something like 2 million social media followers after that fight. And he was he's more popular now than he was going into that fight. So, and obviously coming out of this now, he's probably, if you take out Jones and McGregor, he's probably going to be their biggest star, I would think.
I think probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. It'd be him or Pereira, and Pereira's coming off of a bad showing.
Really bad. And Paddy's in an important market. Like, he can headline shows for them, you know, in Vegas now. If they want to go to London for a pay-per-view, he can do that.
Absolutely.
It couldn't have worked out better for them. He got performance of the night, obviously, for that performance. Mary Bautista and Corey Sandhagen was the one you didn't see. Bautista won by unanimous decision. First and third were clearly Bautista rounds. Second was closer. Most people gave it to Sandhagen. I actually gave it to Bautista, but I mean, I kind of figured it was going to be 29-28, and it was. Just a good showing. Bautista looked really good. Sandhagen, Bautista did something to his leg when he had him in a submission hold early in the first, and he kind of wasn't himself for the rest of the fight. So that kind of really affected him and really poured it on at the end, trying to get the finish, but he couldn't get the finish, but he, you know, clearly got the decision. So it was a decent fight. Well, it wasn't the best one. The best fight of the night was Brandon Royval and Lanier Kavanaugh. You saw this one, right, Dave?
That was a great fight.
Royval won.
Back and forth.
Yeah. Royval won the first. You know, it wasn't close, but it was close-ish. But then Kavanaugh, like, dominated him in the second. Yeah. And, you know, to the point where, like, you know, if you had half points, it would have been like an, you know, 8-5 or something. And then in the third, Royval just kind of figured, like, I don't know what happened in the first. Maybe I need a finish or something. But he poured it on in the third. Like, he did not want this to go to the judges, even though I'm pretty sure he would have won even just winning the round. But he ended up submitting him with a rear naked choke, 340 into the third round. And like you said, it was a great fight. Kavanaugh fought it off that choke for a long time before he finally, you know, had to tap. Inside. I thought it almost looked like he was gonna get out of it at one point, but then, you know, he cinched it in. So that was a really, really, really strong fight at flyweight. So Royval stays as a contender. Great fight on the opener in the main card, King Green and Terrence McKinney. Like,
that,
oh my god,
really good.
That was crazy. Yeah,
that could have won the fight of the night, honestly. Like, it was only one round, but oh my god, I screamed at the finish. Like, I literally screamed because it was McKinney almost had him finished, and
he beat him up, he bloodied him up.
Ref, you know, was in there, he was close to stopping it.
Yeah, very close to a finish. Yeah,
yeah, and then he got him in submission, and King Green got out of it. And then right at the end of the round, he nailed him with a kick to the body that kind of stumbled him, and then he hit him with a shot. Like, it looked like it was to the gut, but they said it might have hit his elbow, but maybe it hit both. And Green or McKinney slumped. And then there was like maybe 10 seconds left in the round, and Green just pounced on him and just started leveling him with shots, and the ref stopped it with 1 second left. And it was just if it had gone to the round, like, McKinney might have come back and like done this. Like, that was one of those fights where you just didn't know what's going to happen if it went to the second. So he may have needed a finish there. Yeah. And it was great. And King Green is, I mean, he's on the best role of his career, you know, right now. I think he's won four or five in a row.
Four in a row. And he's like, isn't he like 40?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, he goes back to Strikeforce, I think.
Yeah.
He's 39. He turns 40 in a couple weeks. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's wow. I just. So I kind of root for that guy. And he's like, he just says, I guess there's some bad blood between him and McKinney before the fight. Cause
a little bit.
He says he doesn't like fighting black guys, like, cause he's black as well. And he's like, so I'm trying to encourage my fellow black fighters. But he says, now we've squashed the beef. So it's like, I know it's kind of funny. So he's like, anybody that wants to fight, just I'm up to fight anybody. And he was in such a great mood after the fight. And he won a performance bonus as well, obviously. So,
So what happened in the Gable fight? I didn't see that one.
You didn't see that one?
I saw the Gable fight. Yeah.
That was, I mean, it was fun. He needs to work on his defense.
He didn't do any wrestling at all. He just came out there and punched in a need pretty much.
Yeah. Punched in need. And, he got hit a few times. And it seemed like he almost got fired up. He hit a low blow at one point. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Yeah. And he looked like he was having fun in there. And Dana was raving about him in the post-fight presser as well. He said, normally these wrestlers come in and they don't want to fight. And Gable loves to fight.
That's going to be his undoing.
It probably will. I mean, he's coached by John Jones, so he's going to have some good – and well, not coached by him, but, you know, he's training partner and Greg Jackson – Jones cornered him.
The thing when I watched him was like when he started to get hit, it's like just take the guy down.
Yeah.
And he didn't even consider it.
Yeah.
You know, you could see him said, and it's like, even if you want to strike, at least do one takedown early, because then you open up the striking because the guys are afraid of your takedown. But if you go in there and they see that you're not going to go for a takedown, then it's just kickboxing. I mean, he goes against, you know, somebody pretty decent, he's gonna be in trouble.
I mean, if he gets hit by a decent hit, not even top 15, like,
yeah.
I mean, Josh Hockett would have killed this guy.
Hopefully if he fought Josh Hockett, he would just take him down and beat him up on the ground.
But I mean, 18 months from now, if he progresses and stuff, I mean, he's got some potential. He should probably be really good.
He's a great athlete, but I mean, it's like when, if you remember when Cain first went to the UFC and he'd only had like two fights. I mean, Cain was so much better than this guy.
I was thinking Brock. Like, if you look at Brock's like first,
it's a weaker level of fighters now. They weren't as well rounded. Yeah. Like, if Gable, you know, Gable's a much better wrestler than Brock,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't do any wrestling. You know, Brock went out there and it was just take a guy down and beat him up on the ground. That was the game plan. And Gable, that should have been his game plan, but I think he wants to show that I'm not afraid. And he's not. He's not afraid to stand there and strike.
They did say that Gable came in with the most hype of any heavyweight in UFC.
Yeah, but that's not true.
That was stupid. I mean, and this was on, I think it was the 17th anniversary of UFC 100. I think when, and they showed highlights of like Brock, you know, like you know, retaining the title. Yeah. And then, you know, and he's like, yeah, and this is the most hyped heavyweight. Yeah, okay.
It's like when if you remember Brock's first fight, he did like 500,000 buys, you know, for the first Frank Mir fight.
That was a million times. He was the main event. That's the thing. Like, this guy is, you know, he's hyped, but he's, you know, he's on the prelims. It's, you know, it's more like, you know, a lot of the other people that have come, like more like, that middleweight, his name's drawing a blank. I can't do these shows at 1 a.m. my time. No, I'm just kidding. But the Bo Nickel is kind of more like that.
But Bo Nickel was further along.
Right. But I'm just saying in terms
of
the hype.
Did you see the stuff back and forth with Gable and Bo Nickel this week?
No.
Okay. So I'm not sure who started it, but Gable said, you know, like, you know, I'd beat him 10-0 in like a minute, you know, and if it was a wrestling match, in a wrestling match.
Okay.
And then Bo Nickel, I mean, and he would, he'd beat him easily. He'd beat him
easily. Heavier, yeah. At least.
Well, I mean, 60, but if Bo Nickel would actually wrestle him, it'd probably be closer to 30, but he's way above Bo Nickel as a wrestler, even though Bo Nickel's a fantastic wrestler too, but Gable's like an Olympic gold medalist. And yeah. and he probably would beat him 10-0. I don't know about it, a minute, but you know, I mean, he it took him longer to beat Romanov. I think he took him to the second round, Romanov, you know, when they did the Real American Freestyle match a couple, you know, just recently. By the way, now I did not look up what happened. But I know that Henry Cejudo got beat by Mirab Dvalishvili today. Hmm. At the show in Russia, 11-8. I know that one. And Kyle Snyder beat Sadulayev, who's like, you know, the Russian tank. I think Sadulayev may have blown out his knee, but he pinned him, you know, which is like unbelievable. But if the guy was hurt, it kind of would explain it. Yeah. But and they did they had a really, really big crowd. I mean, it was, they say it was a sellout, and maybe it was. It probably was in Russia, and they're going back to Russia on that one. But
I have a question about something that was on the show, and whether or not either of you kind of know why she was on, will tell me a little bit. But did you see Sophie Cunningham
as
the ring girl?
Yeah. I have no idea. I had no idea it was going to happen. I just saw her. Yeah.
So Dana was asked about that in the presser, and he said that he was asked, like, when did that all come together? And he said, well, she came to the fight, and she said, I'd love to be able to do that. And he's like, okay, go do it. He said, when did you ask her to do it? He said, 8 minutes before she did it.
So is that why she had no shoes?
I guess.
Yeah.
Like cool.
But is she famous to you in kind of how you see pop culture in any way? Both of you. Question for both.
I mean, I know who she is.
I would say like not super famous, but pretty famous. You know,
like when Chelsea did the thing on SmackDown, like, did you know what she was doing it for with the pointing thing? And because she got that from Sophie Cunningham. Like, Sophie Cunningham was in a fight in an argument with I think it was against Phoenix. And the other person was like coming towards her, and all she would do, she just pointed at her and kept pointing at her and kept pointing at her. And that became an internet meme. And so Chelsea tried to do that on SmackDown. And I couldn't tell if people understood what she was doing or not.
I don't think wrestling fans would know that one.
I didn't pick up on that for sure.
The fans did come after her on social media because Sophie Cunningham politically is kind of being propped up by the side, you know,
right.
the closer to the Trump side. And, you know, Sophie Cunningham, as far as I know, she has not really explained what her politics are, but she says some things that, you know, would lead you to believe. But the other thing about Sophie Cunningham is she's kind of like Caitlin Clark's bodyguard, because she's taken jiu-jitsu, I believe, or she's taken a martial art and can defend herself. So every time, you know, Caitlin gets fouled or whatever, like, Sophie Cunningham's over there to help her up, and she kind of stands her ground in that way. So I didn't know if, like, would fight fans really know who Sophie Cunningham was, because, like, they showed her on
Bill
TV.
Lambeer to Isaiah.
it was interesting to see the crossover between WNBA and the UFC, because to most WNBA fans, the UFC is definitely not in their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, but, Paul.
You could imagine. Because also the WNBA fan base, I remember when there was a chart of all of the fan bases, and wrestling actually leaned left more than almost all. UFC did not, although this is before UFC became just mega ridiculous. But WNBA by far, for obvious reasons, you know, is going to be the most left-leaning fan base in all sports.
Yeah,
and obviously UFC is probably at this point probably the most right leaning, because they've made it that way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it would have to be. Yeah, the rest of the card was, I mean, there was a lot of finishes. Cody Garbrandt, I think, was probably the most notable thing. He looked really bad.
He got waxed, didn't he?
Yeah, and he took off his gloves after, but he did not leave them in the cage. And Dana was asked about that after, and he said Cody had a conversation with Sean Shelby. He won't get into what they talked about. He'll let Cody talk about it if he wants to. So I kind of got the impression, like, I even thought, like, just seeing it, it's time for him to retire. Like, he's and Luke Riley is he's a training partner of Patty Pimblett, and he is 14-0 now. He got a great knockout win over Kai Kamaka featherweight and, you know, cut a promo afterward. Pretty good promo, you know, just, you know, kind of like a one of their stars in waiting. And even Patty in the presser said he predicts Luke Riley's going to be a champion someday. So, you know, we'll see. Obviously, it's pretty early in his career. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like I said, just probably the best other finish on the card was Damian Penis or Pinas, P-I-N-A-S. I just got to make sure I'm saying that right. He knocked out Cesar Almeida, and Cesar Almeida was like dominating the fight. You know, he's going to win the round. And then 16 seconds left in the round, Pinas just knocked him out cold. And and then he had a really good promo after the fight too. And he's like, you know, like I can beat anybody. He's like, I got all the power. And so he's just super confident. And, you know, so it's probably another guy they're keeping their eye on. And yeah, just I mean, if you want to go back and watch the individual fights, you can go back watch the whole show. Most of the fights were, you know, pretty good. And almost there's like three decisions. So, or four decisions. So 10 finishes on the card, which is pretty good.
I just realized something. When they did that 34 million number thing.
Yeah.
Because it was a weak
number. Oh, they added up all. Yeah.
If you like watched all seven fights, you're seven people.
Yeah. And they probably added, you know, so if 5 million people watch the main event and 4 million people watch the co-main and two. Yeah.
That'd be a reason to keep it that way.
Yep. Yep.
That's God. But that is such a fraud.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we knew that number was a fraud anyway, but I never until now. Yeah. I mean, I knew the number was a fraud because, you know, you know, like the U.S. and Brazil are the two big markets. You know, they talk about, oh, we added these other markets. And it's like these markets.
Yeah.
There's no UFC popularity in South Korea and, you know, places like that. Where do you go from, you know, I mean, I knew the 34 million. But I mean, even if you go in there with the 17 to the 34, it's like, no, you know, even in a week. And then I just realized that, like, if you watch three fights or five fights, they're going to count you as logging in five times.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a fraud. Oh my God.
I was just looking over my presser notes too. And, the only other real notable thing I thought it was funny. And if you're watching the show and, you know, they always show the celebrities in the crowd, they misidentified a couple of them. And Dana went off in the presser. Like he said, like, you know, we've been doing this for 25 years. You can't get the names right. He says, I went back there. I went off on the people in the production. They said, well, you know, I said, we're the worst. And they said, well, no, we're not. Soccer puts the people's names up and they don't even put the graphics on. And he says, yeah, we put them up with the wrong names. We're the worst. And he's like, he's just had it with these guys. And he's like, I don't even know why. And he even said, I don't know why I pay these celebrities to come here. And then we put their names on the screen and they're the wrong names. Cause I guess they identified some guy who I don't even.
They pay the celebrities to come.
That's what he said. Shaker Stevenson. Is that a name?
Shakur Stevenson. They just signed yesterday.
Right. Or, so they called him an NBA player. They put up an NBA player.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So they just signed him. This is like their biggest signing in that division. If he has every right to be furious. That's not.
Oh, he was not happy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, they have every right to be. He has every right to be furious. That's like their, you know, the guys that they just signed this week. It's just like their big thing, you know. And in boxing, you know, it's interesting because it's like I think that the whole mentality right now, you know, they're obviously like paying giant to get a few guys, and Stevenson being one of them, and. You know, if Turkey pulls out, like boxing just like dies because all these fighters are used to getting these giant paychecks that make no sense at all economically. And you know, and he's going to like lean everything to the Zuffa side now because he ain't going to work with everybody because he's going to own 60%. But at some point, Saudi Arabia is going to go like, you know, people already know us. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, it's
like, I should clarify because you just brought up something that I wasn't aware of. So when he said I paid all this money to bring him in, that's probably what he paid him to come to the show.
Okay.
But he paid him to come in.
Oh yeah, no, he paid him like you know, they gave him a giant deal.
When I heard him say that, I was like, oh, you're just admitting you're paying celebrities. But no, that's what he meant.
Yeah, yeah. No,
there was something with Luke Riley as well, the guy I mentioned, Patty's teammate. There was a bit of a controversy because after his fight he wanted to come back into the arena to watch Patty's fight and they wouldn't let him in. because he didn't have a ticket. And so eventually they got him a ticket to get him in, but they weren't going to let him in the commission, I guess, for some reason. Like, they don't let the fighters go back out there to watch the fights. Patty was like,
but there's a screen backstage.
Yeah, I mean, he could have watched it, but he wanted to come out there and watch.
Yeah,
it.
I understand. And they should.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah, well, they eventually did, but it was it was a bit of a controversy that they wouldn't let him in, and Patty was real upset.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've been doing celebrities for 25 years, but when you don't have, it's not hard to identify Chuck Zito going to every single fight or something.
True.
Like that.
And Anthony Kiedis. And
now, I mean, now there's real celebs in that audience.
Tyson was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they showed him. I saw Tyson there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weren't we at an old UFC show for one of the old F4W conventions? And wasn't Dwayne in the audience?
Dwayne's been at several shows, but not lately. Now, when I was going all the time, Dwayne was going, not all the time, but fairly often.
Because there's that meme of him in the audience just clapping. Like
Right.
I think we were all at that show, actually, if I'm remembering correctly.
I remember there was a couple of the shows where, like, he's over there and I'm over here and we're, like, you know, emailing each other, like, between fights and stuff, you know, for at least a few of those shows. You know,
I remember there was a
Vanderlei Silva win that was like just this explosive win. So if you go back, you know, an early Vanderlei Silva UFC, and I mean, I just remember that, you know, where he just like he popped big, you know. But he's a real fan, you know. I mean, of that. I don't know if he is now. You know, I mean, he
was going to go fight for Pride. Remember?
The one thing is, but he did turn down the UFC. You know, the last show. I mean, they wanted him there, and he didn't go, you know. So,
you know, Moana's not doing very well.
I mean, I didn't hear anything about Friday. I did hear about Thursday not doing well at all, and I heard also that the exit polls were not good.
It was supposed to be one of the, at least, you know, these predictions and stuff, for one of the top earners of the year, and I think it's going to come in at like between 40 and 45 million this weekend, which is, you know, they would have wanted double, I'm sure.
Wow.
Well, you know, them and WWE are, you know, there's cracks in the foundation, I guess. I mean, it is clear that, you know, I don't know what, you know, what it was, but I mean, like the Kerr movie, you know, did so poorly box office wise, even though, you know, I mean, he did it for other reasons more than just box office. But there is, it just feels like there's something with him that it's, I don't know, you know, it feels like he's his star is waning in some ways. Doesn't it seem like that? Like maybe the rep, I mean, a lot of the celebrities were mad at him because he won't take a stand, which I kind of,
yeah.
Politically, I know I saw I got that heat. There's something else I saw. No, he's going to Broadway. Did you hear that one?
I did not see that one.
Yeah. He wants to do maybe one of the movies or something. He wants to go on Broadway. So, you know, I guess that's the new thing. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Okay. This is AI is reading the blogs and is telling me The Rock recently revealed plans to make his Broadway debut. He and producer Jeffrey Seller spent 3 years developing a revival of Neil Simon's classic comedy.
The Odd Couple. That's right. I heard he wanted to do The Odd Couple with
Kevin Hart. He wanted to
do it with Kevin Hart. Right. Yeah.
He'd be Oscar. That's I've heard.
Probably the Oscar, right?
Yeah. I would think.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
As bad as it could have been.
It makes sense to me because it's like, but he wouldn't he be? Because the Odd Couple was when I was a kid, the Oscar, the famous one.
Yeah, so that I mean, before, I grew. I was even still on when I was out there too, like with Jack Klugman and Tony Randall.
Yeah. That, but when he was growing up, they would have shown the reruns of that. Sure. Yeah. Sure.
And then they had the remake in the '90s or 2000s.
Yeah, but the remake didn't do anything though. Yeah. The first one was, it never was a giant rating success, but it was okay. But it was like one of the great television shows of all time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because of those two guys, Jack Klugman and Tony Randall. I mean, they were incredible. You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
From a Hollywood standpoint, he's really the last person standing in his kind of action star build. And you know, I think he took it like probably much further than a lot of people thought that he would, to be able to take that kind of that prototypical Schwarzenegger Stallone type of action star. Some of it is because he's also got crazy charisma and he's got good comedic timing, but they're doing the last Fast and the Furious. I'm not sure if he's involved in that.
I'm not sure if he is either. I'm
the
not
end
sure.
of the last movie made you think that he would be involved in some way, but you know, he and Vin Diesel have that interesting relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. They've done.
And there was talks about him doing the Scorsese movie with,
right.
With Leo, right. It was with Leo, I think, but we haven't heard a lot of that since then.
He was going to do a Hawaii movie, and he's going to do the old guy movie where he plays 70-year-old.
The one with who's having memory issues or whatever. I heard that one.
That's
recently.
Another one. That's the new one that I just heard this week. Yeah. 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 The guy with CTE. Yeah.
And then he wants to work with the guy who,
by the way, did you guys see Jake Hager?
Oh, yeah. Slapped.
Yeah.
It's by Mahabali Shira
from TNA. Yeah. They did I don't know.
I can't watch that stuff.
No, I watched the very first show that they did, and that, it was on After Dynamite, I think. And
it was, yeah, they had to run After Dynamite. They didn't,
and that was great. It. Like, I barely got through that show, and it's like, no, I'm done with this, and I've never watched it again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch it, but I mean, I saw the clips.
I mean, the clips are all over.
Yeah, all over the place.
I didn't even realize who it was at first that knocked them out. Like, I didn't recognize his shoot name. And then I saw a different post and said, oh my God. Yeah. Okay. They get all kinds of wrestlers on there.
They loaded up with independent wrestlers, kinds of independent wrestlers. Well, he was recruiting, 'cause he just goes, I mean, his big thing was, it's like these independent wrestlers will jump off tables and stuff, or jump through tables for $25, and we'll pay him like, you know, $1,000, but I've also, you know, or something like that. But I've seen independent wrestlers who did it, who were not happy at all with the way it all went down, you know, just like, no, not the greatest treatment and blah, 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 blah. But a lot of independent wrestlers are on the Power Slap. I don't know. Power Slap, it actually bothers me, because it's like, if I'm on a commission, I mean, Jesus Christ, these commissions, you know, like 20 years ago, they're all coming up with these reasons not to sanction UFC. And like, UFC is like, it's a fight and you can defend and all this. This is just like, it's sort of borderline pornography, don't you think? You know, violent pornography.
It just feels bad. Like,
I mean, it's like you can't defend yourself.
No.
I mean, I don't understand commissions. I mean, I understand commission sanctioning it, but my belief is that 20 years ago, you know, you couldn't have gotten a commission to sanction that.
Like, I keep hoping if I ignore it, it'll go away, but it just keeps, it seems like it's getting bigger.
No,
Rhea Ripley was there, right?
Yeah, that's where
she's in the crowd.
They always bring the UFC people. I mean, WWE people to the other Zuffa events. But
there was none there tonight. I didn't see anybody from WWE there.
I'm sure there were plenty, but they may not have shown any of them.
Yeah,
but
they would have got their names wrong anyways.
So Rhea, was that the thing where she said that she tore her meniscus, which is, so it's the injury, and she didn't give an answer on when she'll be back. I don't think she had surgery. And so that's the Rhea Ripley story. Yeah.
You know, meniscus injuries are weird, because I recently tore mine and the doc was like, it's not that bad. It's going to heal on its own. And I said, okay, do I have to stay off my feet? He's like, nope. You can do everything. You can keep doing everything. It'll just heal itself. And maybe it's also because
everyone's different. She said it wasn't a bad tear, but a weird tear.
Yeah. And
she can't bend her knee.
And someone who's, you know, who's as active as she is, probably working out every day, and then gets in the ring, and that's a very hard sport to land. It's good that she's, I was just like, I had always thought meniscus tears were like just debilitating, and it's, I guess they're just so different depending on what kind it is. So, I hope she gets back quickly, though.
Yeah, for her sake. I hope it heals as quick as it can, sure.
Paul, was there anything else in the presser with Dana?
I think we've touched on pretty
John
much
Jones
everything.
Came up, right?
Because they had an exchange at the weigh-ins, and Dana said, you know, he joked and he said, oh, your best friend's here, and he's like, oh, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And that was it. He didn't really, he said he thinks I hate him, but I don't hate him, and that was that. So didn't really talk about fights or anything like that. Just glad that he's helping out Gable Steveson. Oh, the other thing, he was asked about the Dustin Poirier thing and, mm-hmm. About the problems he's having. And he said, you know, how the UFC is helping him out with like costs, rehab and stuff like that. He says, I don't want to get into specifics of that, but he says there's a lot of fighters that this happens to, and we help them all out. And we have a program because he was asked about comparing it to the WWE one where, you know, anybody that has worked for WWE right. in the past and needs a treatment. He said, yeah, we have a policy like that too. And we've helped out lots of fighters. And he said, I'm not going to get into the details right now, but. He says, mm-hmm. we do that, and Dustin's no different.
Yeah, so. And Dustin himself said he's lost tons of sponsorships from that video.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, of course he's going. You're going to.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
A guy like him, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a guy that they obviously really like a lot. And
So before you go, tell us about Collision, whatever you can tell, because
yeah.
I've only seen I've only seen the first match in the Adam Page interview.
It was a weird show because I think it was five matches and almost nothing was announced ahead of time, and they had some long interviews and a lot of recap segments and stuff. So it was almost like one of those shows where you feel like maybe they were writing it as they were going along, but it was a good show.
Well, I mean, I think it was six matches. Was it six?
Oh yeah, because I think there was a squat.
Darby
and Trent was that was the sixth.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes it feels like to me that, you know, and it's natural highs and lows, like right after Forbidden Door, you know, and some of the pay-per-views where it's such a high, it's almost like he's on such a high that that he doesn't really have anything planned for the next show.
They haven't announced anything other than the Willow match, I think, for Redemption. Like there was nothing new added tonight. Certainly got the sense that maybe they're going to go to Kyle Fletcher and Darby for the TNT title. Maybe
really?
Cause I mean, that's,
okay. Actually that now, okay. There's certain things I do know, but it's not out.
Cause yet. Darby looks like he's going through the Callis family.
Cause so. I thought Darby was going to be with Kevin Knight, but I do understand why that's.
Oh, it could be that too then.
They will undoubtedly have a match, but I don't think Darby and Kevin Knight will be a Redemption.
So it's a really good show, like good wrestling matches. There was a 8-man tag with the Death Riders against Top Flight, AR Fox, and Rick and Commander. That was his return,
right? Commander came back. And now, did you guys hear anything about Friday in Minneapolis?
They showed a lot of highlights.
I think Fox Sports tweeted stuff. The Major League Baseball Twitter tweeted stuff. That's how I've seen it. I don't know if they actually were on like SportsCenter or anything, but I've seen those accounts tweet about it for sure.
Yeah, because I know.
They showed highlights. Wheeler apparently got into it with a mascot, and you know, in between innings and stuff. So they're having a lot of fun with it. And it looked like a blast.
Supposedly there was a chant for Tony. With some of the Twins fans who were there saying "buy our team" or something like that.
he did a speech too.
I heard Tony did a speech. I didn't hear the speech though.
Yeah, they just showed highlights of it. They didn't really you didn't hear what he said. They just showed him talking.
Yeah, somebody had sent me a thing which it was like of the speech, but I didn't get a chance to see it.
And the main event was, I mean, it was one of the better Collision matches of the year. It was Mark Davis and Speedball Mike Bailey. They had a great match for the national title. Davis retained, but man, there were some great near falls. And, you know, with the storyline, Bailey keeps promising he's going to beat the Callis family and he keeps losing to them. So I don't know what's happening. But
he lost even to Doyle.
Yeah. Well, he lost to Doyle and then he got a title shot, and Andrade's got to beat Doyle to get a title shot. So that's kind of weird, but
yeah,
it was an incredible match and the opener. I mean, you saw the opener. I mean, it was for a Bandito match. It wasn't, you know,
it wasn't great. No, but it was real good.
It was very good. Very good.
Yeah,
I mean, it was real. But of those three that I mentioned, it was the weakest of the three.
Oh, he beat Shibata, right?
Yeah. With a Kushida, La Mahi Straw Cradle. Yeah.
Harley lost to Shida.
They were having a good match, and then I don't know what happened in like the last 5 minutes, but they kind of got on different pages. And there's a line in there where Nigel said, Harley's keeping her weight really low to the ground, which is a nice way of saying she's dead weighting Shida. So if you're kind of reading between the lines of what they were talking about, but I mean, it was fun for like the first 2/3 of the match, and then, you know, it kind of wasn't as fun after that. But yeah, and then Brian Cage and
Zach Wentz
had, you know, it's a Brian Cage match, so you can close your eyes and picture what happened, and that's what happened. So, and Darby and Trent was more of like an angle than a match, and then it kind of became a match. It was really weird. I thought it was just going to be like a Darby squash, but they actually had like a 7-minute match, and it was fun.
So what was in the Hangman promo? He's saying that I'm never going to challenge the title again.
Well, what he said was there's no contract that says I can't do it.
Lindsey Graham,
I'm not going to do it.
Lindsey Graham just died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, so I just got that texted. Not that that has anything to do with wrestling, but
no, just wow. But yeah, he said like, I'm promising right now that I will never challenge for that title again, even though like I'm not contractually obligated to do that. I'm my word, you know.
And he said he looked light.
I thought it's weird because I thought in the face he looked kind of puffy, but maybe the rest of his body.
I thought he looked light. I got the impression he was coming back. I mean,
he's named all the champions and kind of hinted that he challenged all the champions,
but the main one, and he obviously has had some neck problems that we didn't.
Yeah. Know. Yeah. What, cervical something or other, he said.
And he said, like, I'm too acquainted with that term and I'm going through, PT.
Yeah. So the weird thing was, though, when he said, I'm a man of my word, the crowd booed him.
Of course they did.
Yeah, only in pro wrestling.
Well, the whole thing is like everybody's already booked how he's going to get out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like they still haven't, you know, I mean, someday maybe they will, maybe they won't, but they've still never violated a stipulation. Well,
the way he worded it, though, kind of made me think that down the road, yeah, he could just go against his word because it's not a stipulation. He cleared that up. I mean, Tony Khan has said that, but it's never really been talked about on TV. It's not like he can't do it. It's like he has promised that he won't do it.
So now the idea is he can go heel and do it.
He can go back on his word, yeah. Which again, he'd probably get cheered if he did it.
He would get cheered. Yeah,
yeah, but it was fine. Like it just kind of like he didn't really hint at a specific match that's coming or anything, and I didn't really get the impression that we're going to see him again like next week or anything, but you know, I suppose we could. I thought maybe they'd announce a match, but he didn't kind of look like he was ready to wrestle, did he? Like, that's kind of the impression I got. Like,
I got the impression that he probably, because they were in Virginia, just wanted to address the situation.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like it was something that was planned well out in advance, because if it was, I think he would have just come to Florida and been involved in the Max match. And
yeah, so, he would have been in the Ospreay spot, probably taking the ring away.
I mean, like when I thought about that match, by the way, you know, I mean, like, I mean, everyone knows that was the pay-per-view main event. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really interesting. I mean, like they do have to revamp the pay-per-view. So
they did advertise a Kenny championship celebration for Wednesday. For so,
okay. So yeah. that'll be the angle for whoever it ends up being.
Yeah. And and a 6-woman match as well. Willow, Maya World and Hyann against Mercedes and Divine Dominion.
Oh, interesting.
So that was added. Yeah.
So, by the way, not to take this off on tangent again, but Lindsey Graham was just in Ukraine and I guess just came home, but then had a brief and sudden illness before passing. That is all that is being written right now.
Wow.
71.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah. All right, Paul. So you and I will be back Tuesday night, Wednesday morning with our show on fightgamemedia.com. Yeah. And then you and Ryan Frederick, Ryan Frederick, you guys used to do the, you guys used to do the clinch. You and Jeff Hawkins for the Dynamite show on Wednesday night on our YouTube channel, right after 20 minutes after Dynamite's over.
By the way, Ryan Frederick reminds me of something. So I think it was yesterday, Dana, when he's promoting this fight, goes, there's no hotels available in in Vegas. And it's like, I think that there were two hotels on the strip that were sold out, and every other hotel in the city has plenty of rooms available.
NBA Summer League is out there right now.
When I saw that, I just went onto my app to see, could I get a room tonight if I wanted to? And yeah, I could have got a comp room. So
actually, let's get this question from Trust Process in before we let Paul go. He says, all in is Will's crowning moment as face of AEW, but he doesn't feel like the undeniably white hot face right now. Do you think the Death Rider story is to blame? In hindsight, would it have been better for Will to win in 24 or 25?
I think no. And I thought coming out of San Jose, he was hot as hell. And I think that every time I've seen him, he's pretty hot. And, you know, the ticket movement for, you know, since Wednesday has been, you know, and some of that's a discounting of the tickets, but still, you know, it's 3,000.
Well, that's also Omega too, right? Like,
oh, I mean, absolutely. It's the combination. It's not either of them alone. It's the combination.
I think they couldn't do it in 25 because he was hurt.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, you know, they didn't know he was hurt and they picked Paige.
Right. But,
I thought at the time Paige was the right choice.
And in 24, I mean, yeah, they could have done it in 24. I probably would have done it in 24, but they're doing it now. And I mean, he's going to be the biggest babyface in the world when he gets there. So however many people are there, 35, 40,000,
whatever it ends up being. Sure.
Yeah. He's going to be, the weird thing is going to be though, is are they going to boo Omega or is it just going to be, you know, like,
I don't think that they'll boo Omega. I mean, it's possible. I think that they're going to be cheering the match.
Right.
I think that the people that are in that building are going to go there with the idea of, you know, it's not professional wrestling. We're going to see, you know, we're going to see like the highest of the art form. And that's why we're going to see this, you know, which is a different, totally different thing than, you know, with MJF, where it would have been big babyface heel.
Or even Swerve and Danielson, you know, like that sort of thing. I mean, that was kind of a combination of both, but because Swerve was still a babyface at the time, but
Swerve was pretty much a heel with Danielson, though.
In the feud, yeah.
But, in the feud, he hadn't done the turn,
yeah.
But it was very clear that Danielson.
And I think I get what Trust the Process is saying. Like Will is kind of a half a heel right now, you know, with the way he's with the Death Riders. But
well, and the Death Riders are half and half too. Like Mox is a babyface, but the rest of them were heels. Yeah,
yeah. So. And even tonight, like they fought baby faces and then Moxley's did a promo afterwards and he's like, we're against the world.
And he even took a shot at Omega, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
I thought
match is coming. I think that might be the match for Omega.
I thought that Omega and Moxley were going to have a championship match on the pay-per-view.
I think that's what
I mean. I mean, it's a better match than a lot of suggestions, put it that way. But yeah, I would have that's the one I would have done is either Max rematch. I don't know what the situation with Max is. I mean, obviously he's hurting,
you know. I mean, the only other one that's really an option would be like Andrade, but you probably do that at Grand Slam Mexico.
That's an interesting one. Omega and Andrade Grand Slam Mexico.
Yeah.
Here's the other part. That's
a good match for there, I think.
Yeah.
Because those people really want to see Omega.
Well, and then not only that, but it's a good build for Omega and Ospreay at Wembley because he's facing a hometown hero, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The other part of, I think, Trust Process's question is last year's storyline was who's going to save AEW? So just by that nature, it is, you know, you want the babyface to cut. I could see that. Being, you know, kind of hotter as a story. But I think based on what we know, that was probably the right decision to have Hangman there. Will's hurt, you know,
For in hindsight, it's the right decision. But I, even at the time, even before I knew of the seriousness of Will's injury, I just thought, nah, you know what? There's, you know what I mean? It's going to be in Texas. Save it for London. You know, yeah. you can, and you know, that's what they did.
And you knew they were going back to Wembley this year. So right. You could always
and they needed it. They needed it because AEW going to Wembley this year is not strong enough. They need, like, the first year they didn't need anything. It was just AEW's coming and that whole continent, you know, had never seen it. So it was just giant. The second one was Bryan Danielson, you know, will retire. He's going to win the world title. Kind of a big story. You know, this year, the only story they had that was going to move them is Will finally going for the championship. Without that, I don't think the Wembley would have done well. With it, I think in the end, they're going to do okay. I mean, you know.
It feels like they're going to get to pretty close to 40.
I think they'll get to 4, you know, yeah, in the 40 range, which is, I mean, it's, you know, historically, how many 40,000 crowds have there been with a number two promotion in the world? I mean, like, very, two? Very few. yeah, maybe those.
Well, two. Other than Japan,
Japan's had a few.
Yeah.
All right, Paul.
Yeah,
Paul Ace Fontaine on
Twitter. Yeah,
Twitter.
Check it out, and check us out on the Dynamite Show, Fight Game Media, 10:20 Eastern on Wednesday nights.
All righty, thanks for hanging out, and I guess we'll be back. What is it? August 15th? Is that the next UFC show?
I think so.
Next pay per view.
August 15th, Makhachev versus Machado Gary.
Right. And I think Mackenzie Dern on the undercard as well.
You know, one thing they have really, the one thing I really noticed this year is, boy, have they downplayed women's fighting.
Oh, yeah.
It's like there is something somewhere where they must have had a meeting and just said, like,
yeah,
you know, unless it's Kayla Harrison. But even with Kayla Harrison and Nunes, they were going to be the semi-main. And that was like the you know, the fight of the century, right? You know, and then on these cards, like, they're never on the main card.
One woman's fight on the card, two ranked fighters, and they were in the Fight Pass prelims.
Yeah.
So there you go. Or I guess Paramount Plus prelims now, but
yeah.
And then, yeah. All right.
Thanks, Paul.
Talk to you guys next month. Bye.
Okay. Take it easy. All right, Dave, what is up with the
show? Tell me first about key SmackDown stuff.
All right, let's find my SmackDown notes.
I mean, I know, you know, obviously Corbin is in, and what he's going to be in the U.S. title situation with
he attacked Trick. He first attacked Carmelo to get the match stopped, and then he attacked Trick.
So probably a three way.
I guess I don't know. I was just. Like when I heard that Corbin was back, I was like, you know, if he's on the mid card, he's fine. You know, you put him, you know, I think about him in Rusev, and like you put him in the Rusev role, he probably gets more heat in that role. But then for him to attack Trick, I was like, I don't want to see him in this situation.
That's a bad one too, because Trick struggles on these shows, and I don't think Corbin's going to be a guy that's going to change that. You know, I mean, the thing with Trick is that he needs to be in there with really good people, because he's cooling off in a way, as far as like a, you know, it's like he's a star, but to get to here, you know, it's like he can't be doing matches like he's doing on pay-per-view to get to there. And
it is definitely they're staying in their lane with this stuff, or they're going back to what they think works for them, and it's I don't know, it feels more of the same that I've been seeing, which hasn't been knocking my socks off with stuff that they're setting up. But they set up Punk and Cody like we thought.
Yeah, that was you know, that was always the plan. So yeah,
Punk's entire promo was setting up possible matches down the line. He mentioned Gunther. He mentioned Finn Balor. He mentioned a rematch with Sami Zayn. He specifically did not mention Cody. And then Cody came out and Cody basically said, you know, we got to do it now. I always saw this as a WrestleMania match, but we kind of got to do it now. We got to stop avoiding each other. And that was how they set up the match. And then Gunther was really mad. And he went to Aldis and he's like, you better fix this. I don't care if I face one of them or if it's a three-way, you better fix this. And so Aldis came out and said at the end of the show, you're going to get Punk and you're going to get Cody because it's them two against you and Sami Zayn at Saturday night's main event.
Which is this week.
And he got mad and he beat him up. And the end of the show was him choking out Nick Aldis.
So does Aldis do the match?
I don't know if I want to see. I don't know if it does it matter. Like, I think they think like this is kind of a big thing because they've been holding it off and holding it off and holding it off.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see more from Gunther. I don't want to see him beating up the SmackDown GM.
I agree.
Quickly, other stuff. They set up Finn Balor and Tama Tonga, which, you know, if they gave them more time or if it was in a different environment, it would have been a pretty damn good match. And it was still good for what it was. They started out really quick and they were lots of action. You know, some goofy interference because Tama Tonga was in there, but Finn did win with the coup de grace. They're letting Royce Keyes do a lot of talking here, which I like. I don't think he's totally killing it yet, but he's getting his reps in, and they're putting him in this mix with Jacob because he told Jimmy, he said, you know, family isn't only blood, it's loyalty and trust, and he trusts Jacob. And then eventually, because Jacob still is all about Roman, he had to attack Royce Keyes. And he also attacked Solo, and he wants Solo to come out on Monday and Raw for some bloodline business. So there's going to be a mix of some guy there because Jimmy Uso actually pinned Royce Keyes in a match.
Jimmy or Jay?
Jimmy.
Okay.
And which I thought was kind of interesting because it was just a little distraction and then a spear. And, you know, because Royce was looking strong. In the talking segment, he was looking strong, and I was like, oh, Jimmy just pinned him with a spear. Interesting. Jade beat Alexa. Everyone interfered, of course, and then they did the hyper-extended elbow thing with Alexa. You know, how she can, like, fix her elbow to make it.
Right.
So they did that. And then Trick got a new belt because I guess his belt was missing, so Lil Yachty gave him a new belt. And then it was Trick and Mello, which ended in the Baron Corbin disqualification. I thought like the first hour was actually pretty fun. Second hour kind of dragged, but man, this is so much better than these 3 hour shows.
The 3 hour shows were tough. Yeah.
Like that's part of like the fun of it. It's like, oh, there's no extra hour to drag down this show. So it's actually not that hard to get through. Okay. So what's up with, I guess we can talk. We talked about Rhea Ripley, and I guess Vikingo had to vacate because of his injury. So he had to vacate his AAA title.
Mm-hmm.
Latin
American title. Yeah.
So what's up with the G1, the opening night? I had some notes from Jeremy about live stuff.
I thought so the production was not good. The sound was not good. It got better in the end, or the crowd just got super loud at the end. Well, actually both is true. But it was an enjoyable show. The wrestling, you know, it's New Japan. The wrestling's at a pretty high level. Takeshita and Yoda-Tsuji was awesome. You know, that was a great, great match. But so I guess I'll start from the beginning. It was Aaron Wolf and Hanare, which Aaron Wolf won with the angle slam, a reverse angle slam, I believe. But this was good. It was nowhere close to what Aaron Wolf and Yoshihashi did. Never fell apart. It was never bad. It was just a nice, good match. You know, I mean, under 10 minutes, I believe. It was, just under 10 minutes. You know, it was fine. Then Jake Lee and Shingo Takagi, which I thought was the worst match on the show, and Jake Lee even beat him. Whatever. Shingo's good. You know, he's always good. Jake Lee is not much. Yeah. So I thought the weakest match. Then Yuto Ice and Oscar and Ren Narita, which is a good match. And Oscar won with a spinning choke. You know, mostly Oscar selling his knee, Ren Narita working over the knee. You know, a good match. Then it was Great O'Khan and Udo Ice, which was good, not great. O'Khan came out in a cool outfit. I think the people kind of got a kick out of him. And Udo Ice, he'll probably have better matches in G1 than this one, but it was pretty good. And then Shota Umino and Zack Sabre Jr. Zack won with the Zack driver. This was excellent. Shota Umino was on with everything. He was pretty popular. And Zack, of course, was very popular. And great technical match. Like as far as like technical moves and everything, that was probably the best match on the show. It was not overall the best match on the show. It was, I would say, the third best match on the show. And yeah. And then Sonata and Hirooki Goto, which Goto won with the GTR. And obviously Sonata is not what he was. It was a better match than I expected it to be. I mean, Sonata, the thing with it, his neck is so messed up, and he's like so small, his upper mm-hmm. body is so small, his arms are tiny. And, he used to be a bodybuilder looking guy. And, but he was fine. Like in the ring, he was actually like, it wasn't Sonata of a few years ago, that level, but this was a good match, in the sense of everything looked good and kind of exciting. The crowd was kind of into it, and all that. So then it really should start getting good from here. Really good. It was Yuya Uemura and Calum Newman, which was excellent. They were, the story of the match was working on Calum Newman's shoulder. The bad shoulder was all taped up. Yuya Uemura looked great. Calum Newman looked great. Calum Newman won with Make Way. I mean, he beat him clean. And the crowd was very, very into it, especially at the end. They were trading all the near falls. And then Oiwa and Oleg Bolton. And Oiwa looked very good. This was a good match. Oiwa won with a submission, kind of Johnny Valentine standing arm entanglement submission move. Did not expect that to be the finish at all. Bolton has he's just come back from a torn calf, which is a tough injury. And he did not really seem to be at 100%. Oiwa looked very, very good. And, it was good. And then the main event was Tsuji and Takeshita, which was awesome. Awesome, awesome match. The crowd was so into it. Like this crowd, now that match, they were really loud. I mean, in the building, it was very clear, even though the sound didn't travel well, when you looked at when they showed crowd shots and everything, you could see this was, it's a New Japan crowd wearing, like Bullet Club t-shirts and old retro t-shirts. And they're, it's like they're the fans. I think they're like kind of the fans of New Japan from when New Japan was really strong. And it's kind of like, we're going to go see New Japan and G1. And like through the show, they would just chant G1, 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 at the beginning of a lot of the matches. So it was a very live crowd. I heard the merchandise lines were really, really long. And the wrestling was very good, but the production was lacking. Mm-hmm. And I think if you watched it, if you watch it to watch the wrestling, you definitely got your time's worth, because the wrestling in most of the matches was quite good, and it was really excellent in three of them, and good in probably all but one. But if you watch like a show like what UFC put on, like what WWE put on, what Collision was, in that sense, from a production standpoint, it did not measure up to those other shows.
So few notes from Jeremy, our buddy Jeremy Feinstein, who was out there live. He said he thought there was only two full sections filled in the lower bowl, but he thought the crowd was pretty lively.
It was just under four, like I think it was 3,800, 3,900 in that range, which is, it's like, it's not embarrassing or anything like that. I think that they would hope to do better, but it's New Japan in 2026. They don't even do that in Japan. You know, I mean, they're not a hot promotion. They don't have that big star. Tsuji was, you know, I mean, they were very, it's like, they know the people who are there. Like, it's the people who are there. Like, I think that they were very thrilled to see, like, you know, like when they saw, Red Shoes, like they were really, you know, so it's like that. Oh, we're seeing the authentic Red Shoes, right?
They would have sold out the Civic. They should just come back here.
And it would have looked better. Then they would have sold it out for G1 easily. Yeah. I think they just wanted to go to G1 in Chicago, figuring Chicago is a good market. If they had run Wintrust with 4,000, you know, I mean, it's still only a little over half full. Now Arena, it's, you know, well under half full. So.
He said that Aaron Wolf got an audible reaction. He thought Yuto Ice was pretty over with the crowd.
I heard Yuto Ice and Oscar both, yeah.
He said that he thought Shota got a lot of cheers, and maybe losing the global title, people thought like, oh, because he lost that global title, maybe he's a contender to win this.
And he is. He is, but he did lose the match tonight.
And he said in the main event, when they called back to the showdown spot from the finish of the Wrestle Kingdom match, he felt that they really, really had the crowd.
The crowd was very, very hot. I mean, really, that entire match, they went right at the 20-minute mark. They went right to the finish. But that one in the Newman, I didn't sense that Newman is necessarily 100%. He actually just got cleared on Monday. So there was a chance that he was actually, even though he was adamant that he was going to wrestle, there actually was a good chance he might not have made the first week. And they could have just delayed it a week if worse came to worst. Although he could have just done it on one of the other block days and everything like that. But he's really good. Like, for his age, he's one of the best I've seen. And Uemura is very underrated. Like, he... What a great wrestler he was. And I think they worked together fantastically.
So your schedule this upcoming week is going to be a little different. You're going to be back with Brian on Monday night and Wednesday night like normal. But
I think Wednesday. Wednesday is going to be a tough day for me because I have to finish the issue on Wednesday.
You and I are not going to go on Friday, and I guess no Sunday show as well, because you're going to be out of town.
I may do a Sunday show with Brian.
Okay, so you may do that show.
Yeah, I think that there's a good chance I'll do that, but I will probably be, I don't know how much I'll be able to watch. I'll probably watch. Well, Collision, they're taping Collision on Wednesday. But Sunday, yeah, I mean, I think I can do a show Sunday night. I'm not going to be able to do Friday, though. You know, I'm going to be out of town.
Tell people where you're going.
Yeah, I'm going to Arena Mexico.
And you've never been before?
I've never been. So I'll see a Friday show and a Sunday show. And a Saturday show at Arena Coliseo, too. It's like, it was the only weekend I could go. It's, you know, I mean, there's so many different facets of stuff. You know, I had promised my kids, you know, that we would do Arena Mexico this year, you know, and school starts. So, and my son starts a new job the week of Grand Slam, so that's out. I mean, it probably would have done that week, but I also wanted to go. I also I've been at, you know, invited to Anniversary by many people there, and it's still possible I'll go, but I couldn't go with my kids. But the thing is, like, I really, for a first time, I didn't want to go to Arena Mech to Anniversary. I wanted to go to a regular. I just wanted to go to a regular weekend of shows. You know, and just see a regular weekend. I mean, I've watched Anniversary shows. I mean, I'll watch it from home, of course. But I wanted my first experience to be like an authentic Friday night, not necessarily with a lot of, you know, there's always some foreign wrestlers on it. Although, I'm trying to think. Well, yeah, Friday had Claudio with Blue Panther, which I heard they had a good match, too. But it's like, I don't want to, you know, like the Anniversary show will probably have a lot of outsiders because, you know, AEW's in. And of course, the Friday show, for Grand Slam Mexico, you know, I mean, that whole week will have a lot of outsiders. You know, they'll probably have a really, really big match for AEW. And then the Friday is going to be the Grand Prix. So that's an hour main event, which, I mean, I love the Grand Prix. So that's not a problem. You know, and they'll have, but that's 11 foreigners there too in that match, which is fine. But I just wanted, you know, I just wanted a Friday night with the trios match. I mean, I don't know that they have one, you know. I didn't see, like, this show that they had Friday night. A lot of the show came from challenges the week before. I didn't hear anything about challenges or matches at all. So I don't think I'll know anything until Monday. I did see Yutani and Titan, which Titan won. And it was a very good match, but it was not, you know, not like match of the year or anything like that. It wasn't, I mean, there were three, four matches on G1 that were as good or, I mean, better, not even as, mm-hmm. you know, not even as, I mean, it, you know, it was solid. Titan's real good. Yutani, for his level of experience, is fantastic. You know, it was a nice Arena Coliseo match. But, you know, it's nothing that I would say, oh, my God, right? So I didn't hear. Now, did you hear anything about the Jack Cartwheel match? Because that on paper, that match looked really good to me.
No, I didn't hear anything.
Yeah. And I'll watch that tomorrow morning.
I don't know. Maybe Tony will listen to the show. He's like, oh, I got to send some guys to Mexico next weekend.
I think that stuff's planned well in advance.
So, all right. Well,
you know, the rating was, you know, we talked about it a little bit on Friday, but it was, it is interesting because, this would be the first week, ever that there is a fighting chance that they had the, you know, like, I mean, I guess it's the previous 7 days because I don't know what this number will be. And they're going against the World Cup this coming Wednesday. So they're going to get hurt.
They got the jump on today's World Cup game by an hour, right? Cause I think the World Cup started at 6 my time and Collision U starts at 5.
Yeah. But if you're on the same night, that's, you know what I mean? People, it's like you could get the jump, but it's not really, it's not going to necessarily do well. I did not expect a big number from Collision between the Conor McGregor fight and the World Cup. I think that's pretty, and then, although I don't know how World Cup's going to do. I mean, it's still going to be huge. You know, I was going to say, I don't know how it's going to do, you know, with Mexico and the United States out, but they may not do another 50 million, but you know, where they are right now, they're probably doing 20 anyway, you know.
Argentina, did you hear anything about, or did you see any of that game, the Argentina and Switzerland game?
No.
That game was pro wrestling, man. In the beginning, there was so much. Well, it was a very aggressive game and so much flopping and selling and trying to get cards and it went into extra time to decide it. So, you know, went all the way down to the end.
Yeah, because I remember someone going like, they're going to get killed because you're going against Conor McGregor and Messi. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Messi's, you know, Messi's, what, probably the second biggest star in the world right now?
This World Cup is tailor-made for his story, too.
Yeah. Did I tell you about what my son told me about Ronaldo?
No.
So, we were just talking about it and he said that, like, at, you know, he's got four, you know, he's like, not, you know, he's at an elementary school where he does like work at the elementary school, and he said that, like, with third and fourth graders, he said leaps and bounds, like, you know, Ronaldo is like the hero.
Really? You know,
like, yeah, he said that Ronaldo to the kids today is what LeBron was when he was in third and fourth grade. That's what he said. He said, like, because I was bringing up, like, well, we watched the Mexico England game last Monday.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's unbelievable. And, you know, obviously the Sunday, Monday last week, you know, like, blew away all the prior numbers. But I had told people, I go, like, I think that the Sunday and Monday game are going to approach 50 million. And the Monday game actually beat 50 million by this much, but it beat it. And the Sunday game did get up to 46.7 million viewers. And it's just like, it's on, you know, they would be the two biggest audiences for non-NFL sports since the Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding in 94. So, so that's, I mean, that's, and, you know, And that's a different world, you know, with TV back then. So, you know, I was just kind of like, this is so big. And he goes like, you know, yeah, I mean, Ronaldo is the hero. It's just the hero to, you know, grade school kids, and at least out here.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you and I probably, we won't even chit chat. We'll text here and there about your time in Mexico, but, we'll go ahead.
Next, the following week, we'll catch up, and that's the week of, the pay-per-view, the AEW. So we'll do the Friday before then. So, that'll be interesting because it's going to be interesting. Well, I mean, it's like, it's not that far away. And they just did a show tonight, and we really know nothing on that.
I thought we were going to get like match announcements tonight, which is, I thought I was, we were going to get the news was pretty light.
Yeah, me too. I thought we'd get the top couple, but we did get Punk and Cody official.
Yes.
So there's definite concern about the, you know, in WWE. I think that it's the one they can't run from. You know, as far as like the ticket sales, they're still going to get 30,000 people, and maybe, you know, I don't know about more than 30, but they'll get to 30. Maybe more, because they can always paper too. And I think that if you do that, you know, people will come for that for sure, you know, like in that situation. But
I don't know about doing that wide overhead shot though to start the show.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing is that I think that, I think the 2 day might just be something that, you know, should be just WrestleMania. I think that might be where the experiment failed, is if there's 1 day, I mean, we've already proven 1 day SummerSlam can do a stadium, not sell out a stadium, but do a stadium. But I think the 2 days a little bit much. And also, you know, I mean, they're past the peak. We'll see, you know, I guess the next week we'll see, you know, what Punk and Cody means.
Well, you had the arena idea, two nights in arenas, but I wonder if you do, if it, I don't know how you would do this, just because
I think if you did two nights at the Target Center or whatever, one of the arenas, I think they'd sell both nights out easy.
Yeah. I was also thinking, like, I don't know what you could do, like, sort of nearby, but I know that production is incredible and it's hard for them to do shows on consecutive nights in different markets, but I, you know, you could sell two different markets for sure in arenas as well.
In arenas, easy. I think you might be able to do two stadiums, but I, you know, for them to plan a stadium, I don't know that they can plan two stadiums at the same time. Yeah. I mean, they could, but that might be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus with the Travelers, you're screwed, because the Travelers, like, let's say you do Minneapolis and let's say, Milwaukee or Chicago, you know what I mean? It's like, if you're traveling and flying in, it's kind of a drag. You know what I mean? It's, you don't, you know, part of the thing is to see both shows. And if so I think if you're going to do a two show thing, you probably should for a traveling show, I think that you need to stay in that. I mean, you could probably do Minneapolis and St. Paul, but then it's not worth the hassle. If you're going to do both of them, you might as well do the same building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, that is it. So hopefully, you know, I'm sure there will be more word about the Connor stuff, and I'm sure that's not leaving the news in any way with Connor. And we'll hear about all the stuff with you and Brian on Monday night after Raw. So, yeah. All right, that is it from here. For Dave, I am Garrett. To everybody, thanks for watching and listening.